There was a lot in the Republican tax bill back in 2017, including something called opportunity zones designed to spur investment in low-income areas. The idea initially got a lot of positive attention from Nipsey Hussle to Cory Booker and beyond. Here's what the president had to say at a rally in Cincinnati last week.
And our tax plan also created nearly 9,000 opportunity zones, hottest thing going.
Noah Buchheyer has been looking into opportunity zones for Bloomberg News. He joins us from Seattle. Hi, Noah.
Hi.
So first of all, just remind us what opportunity zones are.
Opportunity zones are roughly 8,700 census tracts around the country. So in the middle of a city, it might just be a couple of square blocks. If you're talking about a rural area, it could be like a whole county or even bigger. And by definition, they're low-income areas that the federal government asks states to select because the government wants to funnel investment into these areas. And folks who take capital gains that they've earned on investments elsewhere and put some of that money into an opportunity zone can get a suite of benefits for building real estate or starting a business there that could lower their tax bill in the future.
What is that benefit? What are the tax credits that are involved here?
Well, the biggest one is, say you build a new apartment building in an opportunity zone and you hold that investment for a decade. Mm-hmm. If that apartment building goes up in value, you owe no capital gains tax on
it. No matter how much it goes up.
No matter how much it goes up.
Wow.
And there are a couple of other ones in there as well that allow you to lower your tax bill on capital gains that you use to fund that apartment building.
Hmm. So what kind of projects are being built as part of these opportunity zones?
Well, really what we're seeing right now is a lot of real estate. The federal government and the Trump administration would really like this to encourage job creation, so businesses. But to date, what we've seen a lot of are investments in ground-up development in urban areas like Los Angeles and downtown Portland, Oregon, and Brooklyn. And there are some reasons for that in the way that the law is written. You need to keep your investment in one of these zones for a decade, and a building is not going to walk up and move the way that a business mm-hmm. might need to if it grew beyond the zone. But largely we're seeing investments in urban areas. Some might say gentrifying urban areas, but that's really been the majority of it so far.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Portland, Oregon, because did I read that all of downtown Portland, Oregon is considered an opportunity zone?
Yeah, the core central business district and some close-in neighborhoods like the Pearl, which is one of their very tony areas in Portland, were all selected. And there's some reasons for that. I mean, there's a good amount of low-income housing in the core of Portland, Oregon, which allowed those zones to be selected. Policymakers there, I should note that it was the state government, the governor of each state, that got to select these zones, basically had to weigh areas that needed the investment but also that were likely to receive it, because there's nothing forcing investors to spread their money evenly across these 8,700 zones. There are definitely ones that look more attractive to investors, and Portland is one of those.
So it seems from what you're saying like it would be pretty easy to take advantage of this part of the tax law and get away with paying no capital gains on an investment that you hold for 10 years in a place that may not need that much investment right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to what do you mean by take advantage. The folks who are behind this really believe that the fundamental issue is that we have a lot of places in the country that just haven't seen a lot of investment, and they need that, and this is going to help get capital off the sidelines. But as you point out, a lot of these are in areas that probably were going to get investment anyway. And so the question then becomes, is this motivating more capital to go into those areas, or is it really just giving a sweetener to things that would have happened anyway?
Well, and also just giving more tax breaks to very wealthy investors, I would think, in some cases.
Yeah, that's a very important point. I mean, this is something that you can really only claim if you have capital gains. It's not so much an incentive that is geared at wealth creation for low-income families. Those may be second-order effects, say, if a business is started in an opportunity zone and someone gets a job and they're able to grow a nest egg that way. But to get the ball rolling on this, you got to have capital gains.
What is it doing when it comes to gentrification
Well, I think a lot of that remains to be seen. And one of the real big open questions about this is, where is all this money going? So a lot of folks in the philanthropic community and who work in affordable housing, for instance, have been calling for the federal government to release data on where this investment is happening. As it stands right now, if you want to invest in an opportunity zone, the main requirement is that you follow the rules and then you tell the IRS what you did. There's a form for this. But as the public, we don't really have good data or good information on where the dollars are flowing. Over time, I suspect the government will do some reporting on this so that if, you know, the policy needs to be tweaked in any way, we can start looking at what those changes might need to be.
That's Noah Buchheyer, who is a reporter for Bloomberg News, talking with us about opportunity zones. This is part of the president's tax cut package from 2017. Noah, thanks.
Thank you.